Thank you very much, Claire, for introduction, and would like to thank the organizers, especially Mark and Claire and other organizing committee member, for asking us to give a presentation here. So I think this is really good idea to have this session on the pulses, and we had really good presentations starting from the overview from Dr. V.V. Singh and then different updates on the different crops. In this presentation, I will be talking on chickpea and pigeon pea. I'm coming from ICRISAT. ICRISAT is International CGIAR Center. And before I go in the talk, would like to mention that in this presentation, we'll be giving some context of our legume or pulses crops, and then some of the progress which we have made in the area of genomics, and some of the areas including the trait mapping, and very quickly some examples how we are using them in the breeding program. And so I will be just presenting some part of the work, not entire thing what we are doing there. So anyway, so as I mentioned that we are working at ICRISAT, I'm working at ICRISAT, and organizations like ICRISAT and many other organizations, they are always interested in international agriculture. When you talk about international agriculture, or especially agriculture in developing countries, so in those countries, farmers, they don't have surplus income, so they cannot provide the enough inputs to the agriculture. As a result, they don't have enough produce as well, so then they cannot provide the enough food to feed the house, to feed the household. So farmers, they are always under this trap. So organizations like ICRISAT, they try to work in this direction, that how to bring farmer out of from this trap and move towards the prosperity. And when we are talking about this agriculture in developing countries, we know that majority of time this happens in those countries under rain-fed agriculture. And when we know that that half of the world's population could face water scarcity by 2030, these are very alarming thing, that well, what we are going to do this thing in next coming years, and especially when we know that world population is increasing. And the another important aspect is the climate change, that there is an adverse impact on the crop yields, and the impact of this climate change is more in those countries where you have the rain-fed agriculture, especially in developing countries in Africa and Asia. So the last thing is, so in front of the scientific community is that, well, how to feed the future. So we need to produce more food in less resources, less arable land, less water, less labor. We also heard about the water footprint and also the different nature of the food habits or so. But if you see in terms of the water footprint, that where the different commodity, different crops and animals go, pulses play very important role, very good. So here you just need 43 gallons of water to produce 1 pound of pulses, as compared to produce one kilo of wheat from the 1857 pounds. So, I mean, in this area, pulses are important, and there are many other examples were given that they fix nitrogen, they provide the proteins, etc. So, and in developing countries context, they are the major sources for the proteins. So, pulses are one of the most versatile food on earth, and there are different kind of pulses. I will not go in the details, but would like to mention that in this presentation, we'll be talking about two crops, chickpea and pigeon pea. They're important crop, especially in context of India. India is the largest producer of chickpea, largest producer of pigeon pea. At the same time, they're the largest consumer. India imports chickpea from Australia, Canada, Turkey, from many other countries. And in pigeon pea, India also imports pigeon pea from many African countries like Tanzania, Mozambique, Uganda or so. So these crops are important for food and nutrition security in India, but at the same time for generating more income in Africa. So this is a very important thing, that in both of these continents, these crops are important. If you see the genome size, in context of the genome size, they are not very big genome, but nevertheless about two times than the rice genome. So as we were talking about these productions, so then chickpea and pigeon pea, if you see the total production, this is in about 20 million hectares, and production is about 17 million hectares. So the crop productivity is very low, less than 1 ton per hectare. Why this is happening? We heard from the different talks that one of the main reason is that these crops, they are grown by small scale, marginal and resource poor farmers in India and Africa. And in those regions, in those circumstances, the crop is exposed to a number of biotic and abiotic stresses. So now the question in front of the scientific community is how to address these issues. And of course, nowadays everyone is talking about the genomic sequencing. So one of the important thing is that how we can use the genomic information to apply in the breeding program. For using the genome information, you need to have some basic resources. But in these crops, chickpea and pigeon pea, we did not have even the molecular markers. When I joined ICRISAT long back, at that time point in pigeon pea, we had just 10 SSR markers and you have 11 linkage groups. So it's really difficult to even prepare the genetic map. The second is in the crop, the diversity is very, very narrow. If you would like to develop a mapping genetic map, even if you have 200 SSR markers, by using 10% polymorphism rate, you cannot have the genetic map. So this was very difficult questions. On top of that, there were only few groups working on these crops. So what we did, that together with international community, that's the reason I say that power of the partnership and technological advances. So both of these things, we combined these things together and we have been successful to sequence the genomes of several crops, including pigeon pea, chickpea, groundnut and several other pulses crop, where we are not working at ICRISAT, but we are collaborating with different groups and we have been successful to develop those genome assemblies, and this is a major boost in the area of genomics of these crops. Earlier these crops used to be called orphan crops, but now with the power of these technological advances or so, these crops have become the genomic resources rich crop. Now let's go back to chickpea. So chickpea, I have mentioned some key partners including from Australia and Canada and United States, so and Germany, so and of course China. So together with several of these partners, we assembled this chickpea genome. And this was the first time that we got access to large number of molecular markers, etc. I will not go in the detail because this was already published. And the same thing in the case of pigeon pea. We sequenced this pigeon pea genome. We have about 72% genome assembled. So these are not the gold standard genome in chickpea and pigeon pea, but very high quality or good quality genome for using them in the breeding program. So from these genome resources, from these genome sequences, we started to move in the next direction, and I will be giving some examples so that, well, how the genome sequences have helped us to move in the new areas. Not only the genome assemblies, but also, of course, we had the transcriptomes, etc. I'm not going to discuss those things, but in the case of pigeon pea is one of the first legume crop where we have the hybrids, cytoplasmic male sterility based hybrids. And in this one, the region for CMS is based from the mitochondria genome. So what we did that we also assembled the genome of four different lines, male sterile and wild relatives, and also that restorer and fertile, so I mean those kind of things. So we got the genome sequence assembled for those mitochondria, and based on these information we also have the knowledge now, or we understand that, well, which gene may be responsible for cytoplasmic male sterility. We are moving in this direction further. Now there are some other issues that, well, for hybrids you may also have the impact of the epigenetics or epigenome. So what we have done that by using these different lines, we also have sequenced the epigenome, and then we are trying to understand the molecular basis of the cytoplasmic male sterility, that what are the genetic regions, epigenetic regions, which are causing that cytoplasmic male sterility. And with the help of this information, we can diversify the hybrid breeding program at ICRISAT. So after assembling the genome, we started to move toward the resequencing the genome. So now we are not talking about one genome or two genomes, we are talking about thousands of the genomes. And in the case of chickpea and pigeon pea, we already sequenced several thousand. And here, I will just mention about 1,000, more than 1,000 genome, for instance. And we are doing the sequencing work in a stepwise manner. So for instance, in the first instance, we sequenced 90 diverse lines, then elite varieties. In this project, we sequenced 129 varieties from 10 different countries where chickpea is grown. And based on this comprehensive genome analysis, this provided two things. One is that what are the genomic regions that have been responsible for bringing this genetic diversity narrow? Second is that the varieties even from Canada, Australia and from many other countries, when you see this analysis, this was very clear that more than 80% of the blood of these varieties is coming from acaricide. So this shows that impact of acaricide in development and adoption of the varieties in the different countries. And then we have sequenced the reference set. So reference set is the 300 lines, and this is the representative set, representative set of the entire germplasm collection. So in chickpea we have 20,000 accessions in our gene bank, and based on that passport and physiological data, molecular diversity, we have assembled this monarch set. We call it 300 lines or reference set. So we have sequenced this reference set also in chickpea, pigeon pea also for 104 parental lines of the hybrids, and also the different parental lines of the mapping population. In addition to that, we have sequenced recently magic lines, 1200 magic lines, and now we are doing further work. But we'd like to mention very quickly a few things. So earlier in the case of pigeon pea, we had the problem to construct the genetic map, but now with the help of this genome-wide sequencing, you can easily identify that large number of SNPs between the different parental lines, and these are the parental lines of different mapping populations segregating for number of the traits. So it's easy now to assemble those SNP, and based on these things we have developed SNP array of 56,000 SNP array. So in the single experiment you can genotype, you can generate the data for about 56,000 SNPs, and we have done this thing both in the case of pigeon pea and also chickpea. So this is another analysis that, well, we have targeted 300 lines of pigeon pea. They are coming from 23 different countries, and we sequenced each line at 10x coverage. And by using this analysis, we also had some wild species in this one. We generated about 15 million SNPs, 300,000 copy number variation, 100,000 presence and absence variation. And I will give an example in chickpea that how we are using this information for domestication. We are also doing in the case of pigeon pea. But on top of that, we have done the phenotyping of these 300 lines at different locations for breeding related traits, like days to maturity, days to flowering, yield related traits. And when you have this phenotyping data, then we do analysis of this phenotyping data together with the sequencing data, and we do the high resolution genome wide association studies. And by doing these GWAS, you can have not the QTL or the genes or markers, rather the genes or that SNPs associated with the genes and which are responsible for these different traits. So now the GWAS is providing that association for large number of traits in the case of pigeon pea. Similarly, in the case of chickpea, we sequenced these 300 lines coming out from 33 different countries, and here we got about 5 million SNPs, 600,000 indels, 512,000 CNVs, and you can use this data for a number of analyses to understand the population structure, linkage disaccrum decay, and of course we are doing a lot of analysis, but in this particular presentation I would like to mention that by analyzing this LDDK, we found that in chickpea you are having the large linkage blocks. So good news is that for the association mapping you don't need to have large number of SNPs. And the other thing is that we have this data on the cultivated lines, land races, wild species genotypes and breeding lines. So you can compare all these different populations, and based on these analysis of that sequence diversity analysis, we have identified the genomic regions which are responsible for domestication, that from wild species to cultivated, as well as from the land races to the breeding lines. So based on these things, we got the information that what are the regions that have been responsible for bringing this genetic diversity narrow. Now this is the high time that we can go back to the gene bank, we can start to use the germplasm in the breeding so that we can bring the diversity, and without having any linkage drag, because we have the information which gene, which segments are useful and which are not. So those kind of information we are getting from this resequencing project. And recently, 2 years back, from Government of India and many partners in India, we have embarked a very ambitious project, and this is the 3000 chickpea genome sequencing initiative. And here in this 3000, we also have around 300 lines from ICARDA germplasm. So basically we have sequenced each line at 10x coverage, and then by using this pipeline, and then on top of that we are phenotyping all these 3000 lines, and then so we already completed the sequencing data. So idea is that by using this information we will have high resolution GWAS for the different traits. Second is that based on the sequencing information we will identify the lines which are having the useful genes, and of course the marker trait association. So this is a very ambitious project, and we already have completed. Our plan is to release the sequence data by mid of the next year for all these 3000 lines. And as I mentioned that this project is funded from Government of India, so we have done the phenotyping of these 3000 lines at 6 different locations for 2 different years and for the breeding related traits. This is the first time that chickpea breeders, they had the 3000 lines in their field. So this is really useful information, and they would like to use, they can use this thing in the traditional breeding program. So for instance, sometimes they are getting the useful lines, they are going ahead with the traditional breeding, but at the same time from this project we will get a lot of information. So that's the way that we are moving now in the area of genome sequencing, resequencing. Now the next thing is that how we are using this information for dissection of the traits in which breeders are interested, and for that we are using the sequencing based trait mapping. Earlier people used to use the SSR markers, used to take a lot of time, but now once we have that genome sequence information we can do different things. So earlier developing the genetic map was taking a lot of time, but we were successful to develop these SSR based map. But now we have moved from this map to the sequencing or recombinations breakpoint based genetic map. So what we do here, we sequence the entire population, and then we divide the genome in the different bins, and then we assemble those bins in the order. So like these are the different chromosomes, and here you are having 1 to 250 reels, and then you can have that graphical visualization of those segments. Red is coming from one genotype, green is coming from the other genotype. So you can get those high resolution map. In this particular case you are having the 80,000 SNPs map in the case of chickpea, and this is in that intraspecific population. Otherwise in intraspecific population this was really difficult to get those map even for few hundred markers earlier. Similarly, so earlier we used to have these QTLs on the linkage groups, and yesterday I made a presentation on this particular QTL hotspot. But now by using this sequencing information and comparing with the different chromosomes, you can have the information at the SNP level, at the gene level, so you can see those different rays. So they are basically the genomic regions which are responsible for the different traits. So that's the approach we are using now for mapping the traits. So by using these different approaches, we have been successful to map more than 20 traits in the case of pigeon pea, the different traits. So we got the markers for the different traits, and some of these traits now we are using in the breeding program. In some of the cases we still need to do the validation. In the case of chickpea, we have been successful to map more than 50 traits, and several of them, the drought tolerance related trait, heat tolerance, salinity tolerance, and several other foliar disease related trait. We'll give one example that how we are using this information. So now this is very easy. So for instance, you would like to map one trait, like here I'm giving the example root trait ratio. Based on the phenotyping data, we can prepare two different bulks. So extreme bulks, and then we are taking 15 low bulk and 15 bulk from the low rills, high rills, sequence them, and also sequence one of the parental line, and then we align these data with that reference genome, and then with the help of this reference genome we calculate the delta SNP index between these two pools, and then try to identify those peaks and dips that where we are in the having the genome region. So for instance, for this particular trait we got at the chromosome 4 that in low RTR you are having the peak, in that high RTR you are having the dip, and this is the delta SNP index. So and then based on this delta SNP index, which is the genomic region, so for instance we got 1.10 MB, what kind of genes are present and which genes may have the effect. So based on these information we can get the information that these genes may be associated with the trait. So based on this thing, and we also compare that if you use the traditional QTL analysis, then this is the QTL mapping based results, and this is the QTL seq based results. And then based on the gene, we can also convert them in user-friendly markers like CAPS markers, so they can be used in the breeding program. So that's the approach we are using for the trait mapping. We are also planning now, or we already have optimized one approach, we call it indel-seq. So here, instead of SNP, we are targeting the indel, because these are very useful to assay on the agrogel. You don't need to have the specific platform. So by using this approach also, we can get that markers associated with the trait. We use this approach for mapping Fusarium wilt in the case of pigeon pea. So by using this kind of approaches, we are mapping the different traits. And now the next step, that what we do, that we are using this information in the breeding program. And I gave this detailed story yesterday. I presented detailed work on this particular topic yesterday, but so it will not go in the detail, but would like to mention that in the case of chickpea, where drought is one of the major production constraint. So for drought tolerance trait, we had one genomic region, we call it QTL hotspot. This contributes up to 56% phenotypic variation. So what we did, that we introduced this QTL hotspot in three different lines. These are the elite varieties. High yielding varieties provide higher yield under rain fed conditions. So with the help of this molecular markers at different generation by using MABC program, so we use three back crosses, two rounds of selfing. In the case of chickpea, we can have three generations per year. So basically you just need 1.5 years or so. So by doing these three rounds of back crossing, two rounds of selfing, when we had these lines, we measured those root traits, because QTL hotspot is having that QTLs for roots. So this is the JG11 line, this is the ICC4958 line, the donor, this is the elite variety. Now you got several lines where we have higher rootland density than the JG11, but in several cases even more than ICC4958. And then we also did the yield evaluation at six different locations, three in India and two in Ethiopia, one in Kenya. And by using these lines or these data, so from the molecular breeding, in the case of India, we already got three lines promoted to the advanced varietal trials in India, where we are having these lines 12 to 24% higher yield in rain-fed and irrigated conditions. In the case of Kenya, we are having 13 MABC lines, where we are having 47% higher seed yield. And in the case of in Ethiopia also, we got several lines which are having up to 40% higher yield than check. So that's the way that we are moving. In the case of Fusarium wilt, so if you are having the Fusarium wilt, plant will completely die. What we have done the molecular breeding, so in the same genetic background, and we have converted these lines in that manner, so you can have these resistant line now. Similarly for Ascochyta blight. So we have got good markers, validation, and now we are using them in that breeding program, so we are having the products in the field now. In the case of pigeon pea, hybrid testing is one of the important thing. So for this work, we have developed the molecular markers, and from these seed lots, you can do the marker analysis. You can tell very easily. Otherwise, breeders, they do the grow out test, and so they take time for one season and also resources. But now, with the help of these laboratory assays, you can easily detect the impurity in the hybrids. The other thing is that by using the wild species integration in the genetic background of cultivated, this is the Asha variety, and we introgress some segment here, and by using this molecular breeding thing, we got several high yielding integration lines. One of these lines has been moved to the advanced varietal trial in that pigeon pea in the case of India, which will have the potential to be released as improved varieties. So that's the way that we are moving from the genomics to understand the genetics of the trait and then use them in the breeding program, so that we can have the better products in shorter time. So the take home message from my presentation is that genomic resources is no more an issue in these crops. High density genetic maps and QTL maps are available. Molecular breeding is becoming routine in chickpea and pigeon pea. Now we are targeting the mega varieties to introgress these traits. And because we are working in developing countries, so, and this is important that we need to address, or we need to have the emphasis on infrastructure and human resources. The other thing is that majority of time now, many funding agencies, they are just talking about that seed multiplication and distribution, which is very important thing, but we need to pay attention for research and development as well. If we will lose this thing right now, then we will not have anything in next few years. So this is also important that we need to continue to pay emphasis on R&D. Okay, in this presentation I have presented work which is coming from several organizations, several colleagues from ICRISAT, and then of course funding from GCP, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, USAID and Government of India, and several, and also from Illumina. So we are thankful to all of them. And with these words, I would like to advertise this InterDrought conference which we are organizing next year. If you are interested, you are most welcome to join us, please. Thank you very much.